Hello, everybody. Welcome to our morning devotions. Today's chapter is John chapter 19. This is John chapter 19. And it's a little bit of a longer passage. And so a good chunk of this recording might be spent just reading this passage. But I want to encourage us, in addition to listening to this devotion, as always, to spend some time on your own meditating on the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you in the specific ways that He may desire to speak to you today. And so I'll read this passage, still share some thoughts, but just want to encourage you to take some time on your own as well. But again, this is John chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold, your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold, your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing all that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Amen. So as we just read, John 19 tells of Jesus' crucifixion. Before he's crucified, he is flogged and mocked, enduring physical, mental, and emotional turmoil. It's interesting to see that Pilate tries to have Jesus released, but the Jews are relentless. It says that though Pilate tried to release Jesus, the Jews cried out to have him crucified instead, and so ultimately, Pilate gives in to the pressure and has him crucified. The thing that stands out to me in this passage is how it says multiple times, in fact, four different times in this chapter, that such and such thing occurred in order to fulfill the scriptures. We first see that in verse 24, where the soldiers are dividing Jesus' garments and casting lots for his clothing. It says this was to fulfill the scripture. We then see it again in verse 28, where it says, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, and said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. Then later on in verses 36 and 37, scripture was fulfilled when Jesus' bones were not broken and his side was pierced. What does all of this signify? Well, it shows us that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of all scripture, that scripture points to Christ. Jesus came to fulfill all that was written in the Old Testament, whether it appeared to explicitly refer to Christ or not. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, where Jesus himself says to the Pharisees, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." When Jesus is referring to the law or the prophets, when he says, you know, not to abolish the law or the prophets, he's basically saying what we have today as the Old Testament. He came to fulfill all that had been written, not to abolish or to change those that all that we have in the law and the prophets. We see, not just from our chapter today, but yes, it is highlighted that all scripture points to Christ. And again, when I say this, I'm not just referring to specific prophecies that point to Jesus, but all scripture. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ fulfills all of scripture. By dying on the cross, Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament laws on blood sacrifice, acting as the final sacrifice once and for all. He paid the price, a very costly and painful price, so that we would no longer be held under the law, the curse of the law, as the Apostle Paul writes later in the book of Galatians. It was also that we would not have to pay that price ourselves. Jesus endured scorn, mockery, and shame, and ultimately died on that cross so that we could be free, fulfilling all that had been written. This is the power of Scripture. And let's remember that just as all of Scripture points to Christ, our lives must be oriented towards him as well, that he is meant to be the focus of our lives. Let's remember what was done for us on the cross, that we, each of us, you and me, we went from death to life by the death of Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot that could be said about this chapter. Again, I want to encourage you to take some more time on your own to focus on what the Spirit is saying to you. But on the whole, let's remember what Jesus has done for us. Let's orient our lives towards him. Let's take some time to pray right now. Lord God, as we read this chapter, we see, Lord Jesus, how you were the fulfillment of all that had been promised. And all throughout the Old Testament, the people of God have been waiting for this time, for this day. And Lord Jesus, you
when you died on that cross, all that had been written was fulfilled. And Lord, so Jesus, we thank you for this. Thank you that you came and you died so that we could have life. I pray that, Lord, that our lives would also be turned to you, that it would be all about you, and we would direct our attention fully, more and more fully to you, Jesus. And so today, as we continue to reflect upon your death, reflect upon all that occurred leading up to it, help us, Lord, to turn our attention to you. This wouldn't just be information that we know as people who've been in the church for some time, but help us to be struck by it and turn our gaze more fully to you, knowing that through this act, we have received life. So God, we thank you. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.